You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Never underestimate the power of the class clown to take his talents out of the classroom and onto a big stage, television, film, standing next to the President of the United States at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. That's what Keegan-Michael Key has done. Much of America discovered this Detroiter when he starred in Comedy Central's Key and Peele. He's racking up a long list of TV and film credits, and he's headed back home to Detroit this week to headline a big comedy benefit at the DIA, an evening with Keegan-Michael Key and the 313 with special guest Tim Meadows. Keegan-Michael Key, welcome.
Hello, Cynthia. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, it's great. Well, your Detroit roots, you know, the city's rooting for you because your roots are so deep. I know Jesu Grade School, Royal Oak Shrine High School, and then yep. You were the class clown, weren't you?
I was certainly in grade school, but I think that you would just call it the class theater geek in high school. I guess they just kind of funneled all that energy right onto the stage, so it was where it could be a little more useful. But yes, I did not lack for energy in the classroom.
And then you went on to the University of Detroit Mercy. You co-founded Planet Ant. We've talked about Planet Ant a lot on Stateside, the great improv theater in Hamtramck. And you were part, rest in peace, of Second City Detroit.
That's right, yes. I started there. I got there in, oh boy, it started in 93. I got there in 97. And I was there for about 1 month shy of 4 years. Mm-hmm. And I think I did 11 shows there. It's kind of the place where I cut my comedy teeth, and it felt more like I was getting a master's degree in comedy and learning on the job, for lack of a better word. That's the kind of the beginning of my comedic career.
Yeah, as you say, you cut your teeth, and then you go on and you build your career in this ability to reach a wide audience, not just at the City Theater down in the Hockey Town building or out in Novi. So as you've reached this wide audience, how has Michigan informed your comedy?
Well, I think mostly what I learned at home, and it was a work ethic more than anything else. It was about the fact that you can have passion for something, and you can also build the biggest thing is that you can build something. So the Planet Ant was not, there was no plans for that to become a theater. There was no big endowment. There was no one had anything in mind initially before two very dear friends of mine wanted to make a movie and use this coffee house as their main set. And that idea blossomed into a passion, and that passion became us ripping out bars and selling booths and painting a building black and staying up until 4 a.m. building risers. It was just what Michigan has taught me is that you can have a dream and literally watch it come true in front of your very eyes with people that you love and with people that have a common goal. And I imagine that it's somehow rooted deeply in, you know, can you imagine being Henry Ford sitting around one day and just going, I bet I could make more of these things. and then there you go. It's taught me that a dream can be realized.
Way, way back when you were doing improv in Detroit, you did a skit called Phantom Menace to Society. And you've been quoted as saying it's one of the favorite things you've ever done on stage. Do you remember that skit?
Well, it was the entire show.
Yeah.
So the title of the show was The Phantom Menace to Society. I think what impressed me about it was that I did more exercise during that show than I did in the subsequent 10 years. The show was like a bullet train, and it was one of the first times I felt that there was a sense of the audiences being really, really energized about what was happening in Second City Detroit. So it was mostly the show itself more than any particular sketch in the show. To be quite honest, the sketches start to kind of blend together when you do a whole lot of shows.
Mm.
But I do remember at that time, you know, sometimes you'd go to Lafayette Coney Island and you bump into somebody from Sterling Heights and they go, I saw your guys' show 3 times. And so you know that there was this sense that something was happening downtown that seemed positive and seemed proactive, and it was all moving in a direction. That's the feeling I had about that show.
Yeah, and I think you cited one particular number about the building of Comerica Park.
Oh yes, the whole satire of that sketch was that when you build a stadium, all of your problems go away, which was kind of the basis of the sketch. But people seem to there's a difference, Cynthia, between a laughter of pure silliness and a laughter of recognition. when someone really gets the point you're making, there's a real profound satisfaction you get from hearing them laugh in a certain way. And that sketch, that was the opening sketch of the show. And boy, oh boy, we just got such wonderful response from it. Wonderful.
You know, when you talk about getting that immediate response, and then I contrast that, so you've done all this work in front of live audiences where you get that feedback, but you've done so much TV, so many movies. In fact, I noticed, am I right? Your credits have your first TV role was on ER.
It was, yes, it was. Boy, you dug deep. Yes, my bravo, Miss Candy.
Well, thank you.
I moved to Chicago to be at the Second City in Chicago, and then I got a small role on ER. Yeah, on ER. It was with a scene with Roma Mafia and Eric LaSalle. I'll never forget it, on a very, very cold, crisp Chicago day. And the part of what was fun about it was that you start early on to realize, even with one line, you don't have to try to show anybody up, but you can do something with one line. If you just allow the story, you're just one small piece of the story, but still an important piece. Just say your line, make sense of it. I remember the casting director cast me, and I did the line in the casting session, and she looked at me with this incredulous look, and I went, "What?" And she went, "You're like literally the fifth guy to come in here, and you're the only guy who actually gets the line." Well, that sounds good. That sounds like it works. But that came from my training, you know, in Detroit and at school. It's understanding how to analyze a text and really making sure you understand what the context of your words are in the bigger picture.
We're talking with Keegan-Michael Key, who will be returning to his roots in Detroit, coming back with a big comedy benefit at the DIA in the evening with Keegan-Michael Key and the 313 with special guest Tim Meadows. Before we talk about that, I do have to spend a little time talking about your character, Luther, the anger translator for President Obama, saying all the things that Mr. Obama wishes that he could say. I want to take a quick listen to a clip of you as Luther as you stood next to the president at the 2015 White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Mm-hmm. In our fast-changing world, traditions like the White House Correspondents' Dinner are important.
I mean, really? What is this dinner?
And I got to say, the president was your perfect straight man, wasn't he?
Amazing. I can't even tell you. I was agog at how good his timing was. And when you watch the clip, if your person goes online to YouTube and you actually watch it, you can see how he's so stone-faced and really kind of passing the energy over to me. And thank God we rehearsed, because if we had not rehearsed, Cynthia, I don't know what I would have done. Because I was just like, I would have stopped in the middle of the White House Correspondents' Dinner and said, "Do you see how good this guy is? You know that the straight man gets paid more money than the comic, everybody. This guy is really earning his keep over here." He was just such a solid, solid straight man, as you said. It was unbelievable.
It was. It's really worth the trip to YouTube to watch that. So let's talk about the fact you are very, very generous with your time supporting Detroit causes and headlining this show coming up December 22nd at the DIA. And it's with the 313. Tell us a little more about the 313 and who'll be with you that night.
Right. The 313 is an improv troupe I've been a part of for, I guess, 13 years now. It is made up mostly and mainly of Second City Detroit alumni or Second City Chicago alumni who are from Detroit originally. And we were doing some shows at the Second City Training Center in Los Angeles, where I was residing at the time. And the artistic director asked us if we would, as alum, do a show for the students. So we did one show, and then after that happened, we all kind of sat around and said, "Boy, that was a lot of fun." And no sooner had we said that than the artistic director said, "Would you guys like to do another one?" And we said, "Yes, we would love it." So we started kind of doing these regular shows for the students. And then eventually, it was a group effort. We all kind of sat down and said, "Let's do this. Let's do this regularly. Let's find a space." And the Second City furnished us with a space, and we started doing our shows regularly. And one day backstage, Mark Evan Jackson, who is the founding member of the Detroit Creativity Project, we said, "Oh, guys, what's our name?" And he just off the cuff said, "We're the 313. We're the, you know, clearly it's the area code for Detroit."
Boom.
So he said, "We're the 313. We're the 313. And we ran on stage, and it stuck, and the rest is history.
There you go. And to that point, the proceeds from the show on the 22nd benefit the DIA's endowment and the Detroit Creativity Project. Tell us a little more about the work that the DCP is doing.
Well, the DCP's flagship project is a thing known as the Improv Project. And what we're ultimately trying to do is to provide an improvisational curriculum that we would love to be able to insert into the Detroit public school system so that children can learn skills that will not only make them better writers or comedy writers, but they're skills that they can take into life. And the basic precept of all improvisation, no matter where you are, is the concept we call yes and, which means assuming someone gives you an idea, you say yes to that idea and you add on to it and you enhance it. So it's teaching children the tools of proactivity and productivity so that they could take into any facet of life if they felt so inclined. But it also gives them the ownership. They know in the moment, Cynthia, that they created something. In the moment. Now, the other thing that's really attractive about it is it doesn't require anything but your imagination and the subsequent training. That's all it requires. You don't need it doesn't need its own facility. You don't need equipment. You don't need anything but a room with some chairs in it. And so that is something that we feel could be, it's a really kind of streamlined process if you wanted to put it into an after-schools program, which is how they're operating right now. And we've had assistance from the Detroit Y as well as other organizations. And so a lot of this money will go into us facilitating whatever cost there may be to the schools to have these programs for the kids.
Awesome work. And that's where the benefits for the proceeds from the event will go to help this cause. Very interesting. You can find out more about An Evening with Keegan, Michael Key, and the 313 with special guest Tim Meadows. Oh, my word. That's going to be an amazing night. What a talent.
A good Detroiter.
Absolutely.
Great Detroiter. Yep. Mm-hmm,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is go to DIA.org. You can head to the special events link and get all the details. Keegan, Michael Key, it was great to talk with you. We want to thank you for spending time with us on Stateside.
Cynthia, a real pleasure. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.